Coggeshall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Okay, you're with Radio City Talk. Let's have a look at movies. And 2017 is going to see the release of what could turn out to be an absolute classic. We hope it is, indeed, anyway. Cast your mind back to, 1996? And Danny Boyle getting his hands on Trainspotting. One of those films that absolutely leaves a lasting memory with you. This, of course, the soundtrack. Things were a little bit different so many years on. But let's talk with Terry White, editor of Empire Magazine. Morning to you, Terry.
Good morning.
As soon as you hear that song, you think Trainspotting.
You do. It takes you right back. I remember I was at college, had the poster on my wall, and yeah, I'm once again drinking cheap cider. In my head only, obviously.
Absolutely. Synonymous with it. And it's one of those films, and actually in your brand new edition of Empire, on the front cover, you've got a superb picture there, and underneath it says T2 Trainspotting. This is Mr. Carlisle. Choose life, choose Danny Boyle, choose Robert Carlisle, choose world first access to the boldest sequel of the year. Now, a sequel for Trainspotting is one of those ones that you think you've got to get it right.
100%, and I think when it was first announced, everybody was kind of like, oh God, this could go one of two ways. But I think from everything we've seen so far, from the trailers, from, you know, we went on set and had exclusive access, from talking to Danny and to all the cast, I think the chances are this is absolutely going to be a cracking sequel.
Well, from what I've read inside your interviews in there and your preview of the film, I was amazed to learn that they'd not seen each other for such a long time. So the main characters, the main protagonists in all this, Robert Carlisle, Ewan McGregor, Johnny Lee Miller, the characters Spud, Sick Boy, they've not seen each other for ages. It was almost like they did the film and that was it, went their separate ways.
They hadn't, and it kind of makes it a bit more magical, I think, because obviously in the film, you get the sense that they, at least some of the characters, haven't seen each other in the kind of last two decades. So I think it kind of probably added a bit of realism that actually these four guys hadn't spent time together over the last 20 years. And you get a sense when we went on set and they were talking about the first time they came back together, you know, the first read-through was in the summer of 2015 in Soho, and you got the sense of them reuniting and kind of rediscovering that magic of 20 years ago. So I think it only really adds to the kind of sense of reunion that you're going to get in the film.
What made the original Trainspotting so successful and individual? I think it was voted the greatest Scottish movie, I think, at one time. But it was about some heroin addicts in the 80s in a depressed Edinburgh. What made it stand out, do you think?
I think it was funny, first of all. I think people often forget that because obviously it's quite dark subject matter and it's unflinching in its kind of examination of drug culture. But it was also funny. And you just had this depiction of this kind of life on screen that you know, was kind of the antithesis to the Hollywood glamorous kind of things you see at that time. It was gritty, it was real, it was funny, and it was, you know, very, very, very Scottish, and in that sense also very British. So I think people lapped it up, and it was a film that, you know, our British cinema goers, we felt like we could own and was very distinctly British. And it held up. I mean, it really has. I watched it again a couple of weeks ago, and it stood the test of time. Some fantastic performances, a great soundtrack, and those things are kind of timeless, really.
Well, I think the soundtrack was absolutely pivotal, fundamental to all this. We just played a little bit there, didn't we? But Lust for Life, Iggy Pop, of course. I think that makes a resurgence in this one as well, in T2, if you like. But I think Underworld and Born Slippy synonymous with it. I think it'd be fascinating to hear the music as much as the film.
Yeah, you know, there's already been a lot of buzz around people, kind of expectations around the soundtrack. So I think that will get as much attention as the film in many ways. And it is, you know, you can't unpick the two from each other when you're talking about the original Trainspotting. The soundtrack is really such an important part of the film that they do go together. And, you know, whenever you hear Born Slippy these days, your mind automatically goes to Trainspotting. And I think there's very few soundtracks from the last 20 years that you can actually say that about.
Just let me give you an idea as well. So it's got Iggy Pop on the new one, Young Fathers, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, The Rubber Bandits, Blondie, Queen, Jason Nevin. So it sort of goes between some classics and into sort of some modern day brilliant music as well. Looking at the film itself, this decision to make the sequel, I noticed that there was a book that was the sequel in 2002, A Book Called Porn. So that there could have been a sequel as far ago as maybe 14 years, but there was a tendency to step back from that and do it quickly.
Yeah, so Porno came out in 2002, and there was, you know, as we discovered when we went on set, there was a draft screenplay that was written back then based on Porno. But I think when everybody came to it, they weren't really mad keen on this screenplay, and I think the time, it just felt like the time wasn't right. But that story that formed part of that draft screenplay, which was focusing on Sick Boy and Begbie's attempt to kind of get revenge on Renton, that's remained in this version of the story, and they resurrected it in 2014. And I think it was just the alchemy of that time. I think people had moved on in their relationships, and I think the screenplay was right. And I think Danny Boyle definitely felt that 20 years was kind of the perfect passing of time to actually bring this sequel. And actually, I think it's a great thing that they didn't rush, because I think when you have a successful film like that, that people so love and becomes pretty much an instant classic, I think the temptation is to rush into a sequel. But I think this 20 years, you know, crikey, when you think about what could have happened to these characters in that 20 years and who they've become, I think it will prove to be the making of the sequel, not rushing into it and having a script that they were all over the moon with.
Do you think the hardest thing is making sure you've got all the main characters back? So if we're talking about a Johnny Lee Miller, Ewan McGregor, but also a Danny Boyle sort of overseeing it all.
Yeah, you know, with one of those guys not coming back, you don't have a film. I think it's a true ensemble film in terms of, you know, Ewan McGregor as Renton may be the lead in many respects, but without those three other guys, without Begbie, without Sick Boy, without Spud, you don't have a film. And definitely without Danny Boyle, you know, I don't think this is ever an occasion where another director could have come in and made the sequel. So I think it was definitely needed for all of those five to come back and to be happy, and I think it's, you know, that in itself, that magic and that alchemy from those five men is definitely what was behind the success of the first one, and you've got to hope will really drive the success of the second.
You've spoken with Danny Boyle, of course, in this latest edition of Empire magazine. How passionate was he about the whole thing?
Oh, this is a passion project for him, and that comes across very much. And, you know, as I say, it's something he's been asked about over and over again. He's always resisted it, and it was, you could tell very much it was his decision to kind of resurrect it, and it was his decision not to before that. So I think, you know, he's long been associated with Trainspotting. It's one of kind of the films out of all of his that are most synonymous with him. And I think, you know, he will have been as keen as anybody else to make sure this sequel was absolutely the right film made at the right time. So yeah, this is definitely personal for Danny Boyle.
They all still look virtually the same, don't they? If you look at
it's
the characters,
remarkable.
It's like they haven't aged.
It's remarkable. When we first saw the photographs of the film, we were like, what have they been drinking? And can we have some as well, please? It's absolutely insane. They look amazing. But they also, importantly, we felt like they look like their characters. What you don't want is kind of just four guys looking a bit older than they did the first time around. They inhabit the skin of their characters. You know, we've got all four of them on the individual covers, and they look like they're... It's insane. The spirit of those characters is very much portrayed in their physicality, and that's really exciting to see. You know, we've got a picture of Begbie sticking the middle finger up on one of the front covers, which you know, is entirely in keeping. But yeah, they look amazing, which I just think, yeah, I would love to have whatever they're stopping at night.
Check out this brilliant preview in Empire magazine, whether it be Begbie you like, Diane, Sick Boy, Spud, Renton. It's the ultimate preview, and it's in the latest Empire, which is out now. Lovely picture on the front of Robert Carlyle with his two fingers looking extremely smug there. Thank you very much indeed, Terry.
Thank you.
That's Terry White, editor of Empire magazine. This is Radio City Talk.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.